Hello, Cospodders, and welcome to episode 29 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Hi!
Hi, guys! Yay! Oh, look! You can hear Val this time. I have a new headset. Holy crap! It's actually working! You figure after four duds, I finally got a good one.
Well, first and foremost, we would like to say welcome to all of our new listeners in the USA and around the world. There's been a ton of new listeners that have been coming in from lots of different countries around the world. It's actually really neat to look at our website pings and go, hey, there's cosplayers over there. That's really cool. Hi! Hello over there overseas listening to us in other countries.
Since you look at the stats more than I do, where are the new people coming from? I'm curious now.
She's going to click furiously. Well, I was going to say, I'm going to end up pawning that off for a couple minutes while I pull up our website.
Oh, okay.
So if you would kindly buy me a couple of minutes.
Yeah, sure, I'll figure out something.
Would you like to rant about cosplay groups?
No, I'll be good. I'll make that as the after session. This will be the nice episode. I'll try to be good.
Okay.
You know what? I'm curious, though, because recently I've been doing my own web staff updates for my blog, and I've had a recent surge in Russians watching my website. And I was like, that's really weird, because it didn't really seem like my blog would appeal to a lot of Russians or a lot of people in, like, I don't know.
We ended up having a resurge in Germany, actually, which I found really neat. I'm going to back up a month just because it's only been 4 days, so we don't have very many countries in the list. All right, so these are not in any particular order. We've, of course, got the United States.
Right.
Hello, fellow United Staters. Germany.
Okay.
France. The Russian Federation. Hello, Russia.
I wonder if they're coming from my website, then, because I, like, wink us back like crazy.
That is entirely possible. See, we've also got China. Hello, China.
Right.
Japan.
Uh-huh.
Ukraine. Ukraine is pretty cool. Canada. Hello, fellow neighbors to the north.
Well, Canada.
Poland. Brazil.
There we go.
Tons of cosplayers in Brazil.
I was waiting for Brazil to come up.
the Philippines. Austria. The Netherlands. Hello. Chile. Spain. Malaysia. I'm probably going to mispronounce this. Faroe Islands? I'm not entirely sure where that is. I'm going to have to look that up after the episode. I'm ignorant. there's also Australia, Great Britain. Hello, the UK. Bulgaria. That's kind of neat.
What? Bulgaria?
Yeah.
Wow.
Argentina, Sweden, Croatia, and even Iraq.
Interesting.
I was just like, wow, this is kind of...
We're, like, pinging all over the world.
It's scattering all over the globe, and I find that really neat just because cosplay isn't just a U.S. thing.
Right.
It's an all-over-the-world thing, but sometimes it actually takes interacting with other people from other countries to realize, yes, there are actually cosplayers who are not from your home country. They don't have to speak your language to be able to cosplay.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's kind of cool.
I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. I like learning stuff like that. It just makes me go, what? I'm curious as to what we're doing to make these other people interested in watching us.
Well, I know that part of it is because I expanded our tutorials page by quite a bit.
That probably helps, yeah.
And that helps people find us, and I will be adding more tutorials to that as I have time. It's one of those things where I'm basically cross-linking from all other sites so that you don't have to go to all these 10,000 different sites. You have one site that has as many tutorials as I can humanly fit in there, but being human takes time. And recently I have not had very much of that in terms of free time.
Time, what's that? Not yes. On our agenda.
Amber was actually out of town this last weekend doing a symphony concert, because I'm also a symphony musician, and this is how I finance my cosplay hobby on the side. And the entire week before that, I spent it frantically practicing. And the week before that, I started back to school again. So for the last few weeks, it's been just mad. More mad than normal. I'm always kind of a little bit crazy. Just
madness.
Because I find normal's kind of boring. Just my opinion. But it's more crazy than normal.
There we go.
So Yeah, so I will get that updated as fast as humanly possible. In the meantime, hello to all of our international listeners. Mwah. We love you all. Thank you for listening.
We appreciate it.
I wanted to make sure that I did the shout out first. Also, shout out to all the people on Facebook who have been liking us recently. There's also been a somewhat of a rush of that too, and that's very flattering, and we're very appreciative of it. It's kind of humbling, actually, to have this many people. You know, this many people in our little cosplay group. So thank you
for
that.
It gives me warm fuzzies every time I log in and I see that people have commented on something. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Yay.
Mm-hmm. I still get emails of people who are following us on Twitter.
Yay, cool.
So we're building a cosplay empire.
Wah. I need an evil kitty. I don't think, wait, I might have something. Evil kitty.
She's not very evil.
I know she's not. She's kind of cute. I don't have anything other than this. I've got penguins. My snake's not done yet, so I can't really use a snake.
I'm going to call this our cospire because it's a cosplay empire.
You're such a punny lady.
I made you facepalm.
You did. Today's full of face palming.
I win.
Crazy, crazy lady.
All right, so our first topic for discussion is actually something from Facebook, speaking of. That was not an intentional segue.
It really wasn't.
It just happened that way. But anyways, did you want to introduce this since this is more your
Since I'm
thing?
The Facebook lady?
Well, since you have been more active on this than I have.
Yeah, this actually spawned because I found this randomly through another friend's page, and I thought this was so ludicrous, but I kind of wanted to get some discussion going on it. I'm sure a couple of people have already seen this by now. It's called Liz's Rules of Cosplay. This person posted up a giant list of what they felt were cosplay rules on their blog. It was up for about a good 10 minutes, got reposted thousands of times, ended up on Reddit and a couple other places. They immediately took it down, but, of course, it is the internet. Once it's on there forever. So I posted a link to it on our cosplay page, and it was interesting to see how fast and how quickly people responded to it. And I think the opinion on it was pretty unanimous. They were not very nice things to say.
Well, and, of course, this was rules written from one person's perspective, so it's not as though these were sanctioned by, say, an organization. This was one person's thoughts on what the rules of cosplay should be. And I'm actually trying to go through and pull up exactly what the rules were, because, like you said, this is the internet. There is a cached version of anything that appears on the internet somewhere, even if it's Google.
If it's on the internet, it stays on the internet.
Yes. So it's one of those things, and I'm glancing through this, and of course, I see things about King of Nerds. Oh, there it is.
The one that stands out to me is Know Thy Gender, Don't Crossplay. I don't care if you really like a certain character. If you're a male, cosplay a male character. If you're a female, cosplay a female one. And I was just like, what? No? What? I know so many people who cosplay, and there are some very handsome women who pull off men really well, and some really beautiful men who pull off women really, really well. I think, if anything, if you can transform yourself into another gender, you're, like, defining cosplay times a million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, that just seems ridiculous.
So, in short, here are the rules as given. I'm not going to actually read all of the text, but this is basically what she has down as her rules.
Splurge
of
it.
Okay, so the first rule listed is know thy character, by which she means don't cosplay a character that you aren't familiar with. So if you see something that looks nice, but you don't know the character, she's saying don't cosplay. The second one is know thy body, which is more of a commentary on tailoring a costume to fit your body type. So they're basically saying that if you don't look like the character, don't cosplay them. The next rule is know thy material. And that boils down to basically using accurate materials for the costume. You wouldn't have a Trigun trench coat made out of silk. No, that's what that boils down to. The next one is Know Thy Series, which is to know the world that the character lives in. So if it's from Naruto, then you have to kind of know the Naruto mythos. The next rule is Know Thyself, which has to do with the mental aspects of cosplay. Know Thy Props. So there, it's another accuracy thing with making sure that you're carrying a prop that's the right size, made out of the right stuff. Know Thy Timeline, which from this, basically it looks like the cosplay triangle, the one that's quality, time, and cost.
Cost,
and you get to pick two. I think that's what that one boils down to. Know Thy Fandom, which doesn't really make sense to me in cosplay, but basically what it looks like this is saying is that they don't want everyone to cosplay the same character.
Right.
So that if a particular anime is popular, that you shouldn't cosplay from it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what that one boils down to. But I'm interpreting this, so. Know Thy Gender, which you addressed before. And then Know Thy Makeup, which is, of course, applicable to both genders. And they're covering that everybody needs to wear basic makeup, just for appearance's sake. And the last one basically says, understand that you will have pictures taken of you. So if you're wearing a costume, people will take pictures of you, and you can't really do anything about it. So those are basically the rules as written of cosplay. Yes, there's elaboration, but I think based on the text here, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, and it seems like the response that we got from Facebook is that a lot of people think that the rules themselves are not bad. It's the way that she presented them. That's the thing that got a lot of people up in arms, because she was basically saying, you know, if someone who's overweight tries to cosplay a Sailor Moon, God kills kittens. That's one of the lines. And it's like, really, that's completely unnecessary. It's one thing to have an opinion about something, but there are ways to address your opinion without being intentionally insulting to people. And it just really seemed like a giant flame fest, unfortunately.
It was, and it's also basically having one person claiming to speak for the entire cosplay-dom. You know, cosplay isn't really definable by a set of rules. Because that's kind of the nature of dressing up in costume, is you're portraying a character based on your perspective. Mm-hmm. So being able to codify it like this really kind of breaks it down, I think, in a way that most cosplayers aren't comfortable with. It's trying to put cosplay into a box.
Mm-hmm. And we do everything to break out of the box. I mean, that's the entire point of it. We do so many things that are so random, and they're fictional make-believe characters. I mean, come on. Gotta have fun with it, and have fun in your own way. That's the idea.
And, you know, in cosplay, like you said, people are welcome to have their opinion. Many of them do have an opinion.
A lot of them have their own opinions, yes.
Many of them voice this opinion.
Yes, they do.
and you are free to do so, you know, because free speech is considered a human right, whether you're in the U.S. or anywhere else. And while you're free to express that opinion, it doesn't mean that you should necessarily lord it over somebody else. So if you personally feel that people who are of large body types should not dress up like slim characters, you have a right to believe that if that's what you wish. But it doesn't mean that you should try and enforce that on the rest of the fandom just because
exactly.
You don't like to see it. I mean, I've seen all sorts of costumes that I don't like, but at the same time, I support their right to do it. And that's kind of what it boils down to.
That needs to be the slogan right now. I support the right for them to do them, even if I do not like it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen male cosplayers as Rogue from X-Men. Didn't suit their body type at all.
Oh, no.
Didn't. But I wasn't about to sit there and go, where's your spandex-wearing card, man? You shouldn't even be seen in public with that.
Right.
No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, whether or not I agree with their costume choice, I'm not a fashion designer. But as a cosplayer, I support their right to wear it, as
exactly.
long as it is legal. You know, I'm not going to support someone's right to cosplay sexy ninjutsu and not have bits covered.
Right.
Obviously, I am not going to support that.
It needs to be within convention rules and rules of the state.
It needs to be legal for us to support it.
Make sure you're always covered. There you go.
Yes. But that aside, you know, that's, and I think that's kind of what the majority of the reaction we ended up getting was, is, you know, this person is basically trying to enforce their beliefs on the fandom.
Exactly.
And putting it into a box that is defined by this one person.
Mm-hmm.
Cosplay is not run by a board or committee. Cosplay does not have a king or queen. No one person runs cosplay. So that's kind of how this came across. And I think that's why, you know, some of our followers got a little miffed.
But I did think it was interesting how they all pretty much universally agreed, you know, some of the rules, I mean, they make sense, but depending on the context you put them in, it's just the way that she wrote them out, it was just so harsh that it was just like, no, this is not how you go about it.
Right. And again, of course, these are posted on our Facebook, should you wish to peruse them, as these are still here. They are cached on the internet, and they will probably be around for a while.
Just like porn. That's what the internet's for.
I do not support this.
But Avenue Q, so awesome.
Avenue Q is not porn. Not porn.
Oh, it's been a long day. I'm sorry, listeners. Viewers. Belle's ready to go to sleep now. She wants the week to be over with. So she can dress up this weekend.
At any rate,
next topic.
We will save the exhaustion rant for the after session.
That won't be that long.
Yes, well, anyways. So I believe we have a pair of reviews. Which shall we do first?
Let's do the mini Akon review, even though my butt wasn't there, so I can't really comment a whole lot. Other than I know people who were in the cosplay contest who won stuff, so yay to them.
Indeed, I went to Mini-Acon for a little while, as unfortunately that was the week right before I had my concert, so I was very limited on time. The first thing I noticed when I got there was, oh my god, people.
Okay, now they said it was 3,200 people on their Facebook page. I just kind of sit there and was like, no?
It was 3,390 total in the end, according to their Twitter.
How?
And if you look at some of the pictures I took, which, of course, we'll flash a couple of these up for the audience to see, but there were seriously a lot of people there. It was very crowded.
I am surprised, because this is at a library. Where usually it's like maybe 300-400 people tops for the past couple of years. Not 3,000.
I don't know that it looked like 3,000. It did look like several hundred while I was there. Now, granted, I don't know how they counted attendance in terms of, you know, people were constantly coming in and leaving. And it was several hours long. It started at 10 a.m. in the morning and went until 5 in the afternoon. So, you know, obviously there was time for people to rotate in and out. But the big difference this year was that a lot of their programming was outside, which they kind of had to be just because of the sheer number of people. For heaven's sakes, they had a dealer's den at Mini-Acon, which has never happened before. I mean, this mini one, not even one day con, this hours long little meetup was larger than some anime conventions.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I've
official
been to conventions
anime
that are smaller
conventions.
Than that.
I mean, it's larger than several conventions I've been to. And because of that, they actually had to set up a main stage outside where they had programming. So things like concerts, they had the cosplay contest out there. I believe they had some panel-type things out there, like Annie Idol or Anime Jeopardy. I mean, they actually had a lineup of programming on that stage.
Granted,
it was a little chilly outside, so I felt kind of bad for the cosplayers. They probably may have wanted to think twice about holding the cosplay contest outside.
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of space, that was probably their only option, because last year was kind of a mess.
Yes, last year it was actually held inside the library around the distribution desk,
Oh, yeah.
which was really interesting.
Very classy.
But this year they had plenty of food trucks. I think they had 4 or 5 food trucks this year, which was a big change from last year, just to have to feed the sheer number of people. And they were always busy the whole time I was there. The food trucks were always busy. And there were quite a few cosplayers. There were hundreds of cosplayers,
wow,
which is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the weather was good enough that people were okay with cosplaying. And, of course, they did have some programming indoors. They had things like painting miniatures. They had an artist alley. They had pachinko machines. They had some photography studios set up. You know, so they had things going on inside the library that you do, along with the dealer's den, of course, which I actually did walk inside. And it was a miniature dealer's den. Lo and behold, they even had a raffle there for free Acon membership. So
Oh, cool. It
really was like a miniature convention. And I had two complaints. The first has to do with the size, and that's parking. When you have 3,000 people going to a mini convention in a day, a library parking lot is not sufficient. The entire street next to it, if you remember, last year we had to park all the way down the street because
Oh, yeah. The
library lot was full. Well, now both sides of the street were full, all the way down. So, you know, people were having to, one, either wait, or two, find creative ways of parking, which usually meant parking in front of people's houses in the other neighborhoods, which is actually illegal. So, you know, they're going to have to basically look at doing a new location next year if they expect to have the parking under control. The second thing is that this was more of a meet than a convention. And the reason I say that is because they basically had two lines of programming, and they weren't like a major convention would have them. It's not every half hour on the half hour. Basically, it was every couple of hours they would have one thing going. And if you didn't want to attend that thing, you didn't really have anything to do besides, you know, socialize. It's basically a very large social meetup.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't programming driven. There were things to attend. They just didn't happen with enough reciprocity for people to be able to, you know, have much choice if they wanted it. Not like a full-on convention. I know it's Mini-Acon. I know. At the same time, it's like, okay, if you're getting to that size, you probably need to start looking at having greater amounts of programming.
And a different space. I'm sure that they didn't even anticipate the number of people based on the past years. I mean, that's a lot of people.
It is an astronomical amount of people. I didn't even count the number of people that were in the cosplay contest, but I do know that it lasted almost an hour, and the vast majority of that was people walking on and off the stage.
Whoa.
Oh, that was something else I wanted to address, actually. And if anyone from the Acon cosplay staff sees this, one, I want to congratulate you on a very smoothly run contest. It went without a hitch. The issue I had with it as a photographer and videographer is that it literally went so quickly that the cosplayers did not get to stop long enough to have a proper photo taken. We didn't get to see their costumes. Basically, it was judges are judging on site literally for about 5 seconds. It was long enough for them to walk on stage, pause for about 2 seconds, and I'm not kidding, it was about 2 seconds, and then they'd turn and walk right off. And so if you weren't set to have the picture with a quick exposure, all you get is either a blurry mess or you'd get their back, which those people spent a lot of time on their cosplay. And as somebody who is taking their picture and or video, I would like to give them the chance to show off that costume that they worked so hard on.
They broke one of their own rules.
Well, I ended up talking to some contestants afterward, and they were told by whoever was running it, that this is how they were to do it, that they were not given time to actually stop and show off their costume to the crowd, which made me feel really bad as a cosplayer, for one.
Yeah.
Because some of those people, I mean, there was one guy who was cosplaying Beast Boy from Teen Titans. He was in full body makeup. The poor guy didn't get to stay on stage longer than 20 seconds. So,
that's a shame.
You know, as a cosplayer, I want them to have that chance. And as a photographer, I would like long enough to be able to set up a quality shot.
Yeah,
at, such as it is. There were only four photographers there that I saw actually with, you know, rigs taking pictures, and I was one of them. And I was, like, way off to the side because, unfortunately, with them having set up the stage, it was under a giant tent. So there were tent poles everywhere. So it was really hard, unless you stood directly in front of the stage, to get a good perspective that didn't have a giant pole in the way. In hindsight, I should have stood at the front of the stage instead of
hindsight.
Trying to be... Well, I was trying to be all nice as a photographer and stay out of the way, especially
See,
since our camcorder...
Amber needs to get a backbone, and she just needs to shove herself right in the front and be like, look, this is my spot. I am not moving. I am the photographer.
Well, I thought about that after I had set up the Canon on the tripod with the weights on the bottom, and I was, you know, the zoom and everything was set, because the Canon has excellent zoom capability. And everything was all set, and then I was like, great, all these people keep walking in front of my line of vision. And every time I'd walk up and tap them on the shoulder and say, you know, could you scoot 6 inches to the left or right? I'm trying to film this. And they'd move, and as soon as that spot opened up, somebody else would walk into it.
It's almost like they completely ignored the fact that you had a camera. Because it's
they
a big camera.
They did. They basically never looked behind them and thought, oh, well, maybe that person just felt like moving, so I'm just going to stand here and get the best possible view. Because I had a really good view without tent poles, and people kept standing in front of it. So I apologize, you know, for the video and the pictures when I get them out. Yeah, it's because people kept standing in my way.
So silly. Aw, sad. Oh, well.
But... basically,
we'll make up for it at AllCon.
Yeah, most of the cosplayers scattered after the cosplay contest was over. And by that point, there was only a couple hours left of the convention anyway, so most of the programming was winding down. So I just went ahead and took off because I had homework. But all that aside, it basically was a miniature AllCon with all the size and logistics and programming that that entails. So if they end up doing this again next year, one, they cannot call it Mini AllCon. They're going to have to call it something else, like AllCon Lite. Two, they're going to have to find another place to do this that has adequate parking for all of these people and room for all the people inside, because it was really crowded inside too. And three, they're going to have to start looking at programming, unless they just want to keep this as basically a giant social event. Which is fine, just it's a little
in
more
In which
difficult.
Case, they're going to have to really start capping the attendance at that point. Have to tell people, sorry, no, this is too many. Because if they want to keep it social, it's going to get too big.
Yeah, I mean, Anime Fest capped theirs at 5,000 for many years because they wanted to keep that social feel to it. So,
and that's, you know, what I kind of liked
going.
About it.
Next year, Mini AllCon Lite is going to be 5,000 people, given their growth rate. And frankly... that's not even AllCon Lite anymore. That is a full-on other convention, and they're going to end up having, you know, AllCon Summer and AllCon Winter. They're going to split their own convention into two parts and just have equal conventions.
That's brilliant. You need to bring that up to them. AllCon Winter. That's beautiful. I love that.
Well, I'm trying to think of it like PAX East and PAX Prime, but I can't think of an adequate way of naming the two AllCons, because I'm not going to name it like AllCon A, AllCon B, AllCon 1, AllCon 2. No, 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 no.
No, winter-summer works. I mean, because that really does describe the Texas weather system. We get summer,
well,
we get winter.
It's also when they're scheduled.
You don't really have fall or spring.
AllCon Winter is in January, and AllCon Summer is in June.
June. It's perfect.
So, yeah. So that aside, that was what is probably the last year of Mini AllCon going next year to AllCon Lite.
Oh, man. And then it goes to AllCon the Major Convention.
Then it goes to AllCon Summer and AllCon Winter.
You really should suggest that to them. That's a good idea. I like that.
I don't think they want to think about their Mini AllCon getting that big.
Yeah, they'll have to do something to fix that then, because it's gonna happen at the rate that they're going.
But I believe while I was off taking care of business, you were also taking care of business of a different sort.
Yeah, half business, half work. The day that Mini AECOM was going on, I actually had to be at my job.
I was referring to the round table.
Yeah, I know, I'm talking about the round table next. Don't worry. It leads into this, I swear.
Okay.
So the next day was Sunday when Amber had to do her stuffs and stuffs. You tell that Val's a little tired today? She's ready to go to bed. It's not even 7:30. But yeah, the next day we had a round table. It was originally meant to be 2 weeks prior, but we were having some technical difficulties. But we were able to reschedule it with Mary, aka Benihime Cosplay. And it was a really good about hour and a half discussion about bullying and cosplay, what we felt it bullying is defined as, the difference between bullying and constructive criticism, and even gave some of our own personal examples of how we've been affected by it. I hate to say this, but the audio is really sucky. And I tried my hardest to clean it up so much. But, you know, a microphone can only do so much work, and it got really horrible feedback.
This is
So
one
when.
of those times in life where you get what you pay for.
Yeah. And it wasn't my fault for once. Yes, because I had my new headset. I'm sorry, Mary. I know she feels so bad about it. But it's because it was such a really interesting discussion, I don't want to deprive our listeners and our viewers of that. So I'm in the process right now of transcribing it. It's taken me a little bit of time because we just talked so much and we had so many good points that we brought up. I don't want to leave anything out short of like ums and random laughter. I'm typing everything down. So I'm going to have that up hopefully by the end of the week, which is when our next episode, episode 29, releases. And I am also going to post the video version of it. I did my best to clean up the audio. The audio is still kind of crappy. You're going to have to turn up your headset to listen to it, and there is feedback. I can't fix it. I have really tried. I even sent it to some of my audio friends, and they were like, yeah, we can't salvage this. It's not as bad as it used to be. So it is bearable, but probably after a couple of minutes, it might give you a headache. So thoughts on making a transcript?
We have another set of audio guys who might be willing to help us.
I bugged them about that too. No, don't worry, I already bugged them about that. They were fully aware of it. I told them about the situation.
Hi,
Hi, Radcast
Radcast. We miss you guys.
We do miss you guys. We get to see them at AllCon. I'm ready for AllCon.
I waved to them when I was up in Denton for Mini Acon. It's like, hi guys, I'm
Hi,
sorry
guys.
you're working, I'm sorry you can't be here, but hi anyway.
They were working, I was working, we were all working.
Yeah, we were all working one way or another.
Yeah. So yeah, I hope that you guys enjoy it, and hopefully the next roundtable will have something similar. I know Mary definitely wants to do another one when she gets a better headset, because we do have a lot of really good ideas, and a lot of you guys have been making some really good suggestions for future topics. So definitely something we want to explore, and don't be shy to come and join us, because we're pretty normal, casual, cool people. Even if you don't want a video of you shown, that's fine. As long as we can talk to you and we can record your voice, we are cool.
Yep, and to be honest, the more the merrier,
Oh,
because
absolutely.
it helps to have diversified opinions on some of these things. It's not just us as talking heads just giving our opinions on something. We like hearing other opinions because you may look at something in a way that we hadn't even thought of before. So,
And
just saying.
Amber and I have pretty similar opinions in certain things. I mean, we do have different ideas and certain stuff. I mean, of course, but I mean, that's why we get along so well. So if we could have somebody to kind of come in and stir the pot, that would be awesome. Amber is physically stirring the pot. I know you can't see it right now because the camera's based on me.
Stirring, 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 stirring.
Oh, good gravy. I'm tired.
All right, so obviously we have been busy for these last couple of weeks. We are going to get back into the tutorials.
We promise. We really, really do.
If there is time, this episode following this, you are going to see a product review for what is essentially an off-brand Dremel. And Dremels are excellent things for cosplayers to have, especially if you get into prop making. And one of the next tutorials I'm going to be doing is an offshoot of a featherweight tutorial from cosplay.com on how to make swords. Prop swords, like the one that's sitting right here next to me.
Yay!
So yes, I actually did this.
That's
In
really nice.
fact, there are pictures of these, of both swords on my DeviantArt, for those who wish to follow my progress. I am Celadon, which is Celyddon dot deviantart.com. Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to put the swords aside because, as I found out this past week, since I lost a week of being able to work on cosplay since I was frantically practicing symphony music instead, and I will be losing another week here at the end of this month because of another symphony concert, I just don't have time to finish this cosplay before AllCon. So unfortunately, I'm just going to have to put Lady Sif aside. Sometimes that happens in cosplay. Sometimes you will find, this was one of the cosplay rules that was correct out of that, list of cosplay rules is know thy timeline. My timeline does not give me sufficient time for me to complete this costume to my satisfaction before the deadline. So I know that I need to put it aside. I have other things that need my time more. So unfortunately, I won't be making very much progress on the swords since I do need to set them aside. But I will eventually finish them, and I will, go ahead and do the tutorial on them. But for now, you will have to make do with my fancy, fancy Dremel that is not actually called a Dremel. My mini rotary tool.
There we go.
Yes.
Whereas
So.
I will be plastering my face like nobody's business and working with latex, and you won't get to see this one because I recently just pulled my latex head bald cap out of its mold, and I got another one of these. But I'm going to have a huge, fun little project that's either going to be epically awesome or a giant failure. Either way, I will be recording it. And it will be part of the episode. Even if I fail miserably, at least you will learn from my mistakes.
Yes, and there's also going to be a couple more roundtables coming up in the near future, and we will have, of course, announce the dates and times as we set those. So, as always, if you guys have suggestions on, tutorials you'd like to see us do, or people you'd like us to interview, if there are particular cosplayers you'd like us to get a hold of, or roundtable topics that you'd like us to do, feel free to ping us because we're always open to suggestions, and sometimes you'll suggest things that weren't even on our radar. So, yes, please contact us if you have, suggestions, comments, concerns, questions, criticisms. We'll take those too.
Yeah, we'll take them.
But other than that, onward. Hello, Potters. Amber here. I'm going to do a review for you today on rotary tools. And for those who don't know what rotary tools are, they're basically little handheld tools that have several different chucks or little tool bits that you can stick into them, and basically they're pretty versatile. They can do a whole bunch of different things. So while I was at Walmart the other day, not that I'm endorsing Walmart, I'm not necessarily endorsing Walmart, just I happened to find one of these. This is a miniature rotary tool, which I find helps for crafters who are trying to do very tiny, detailed sorts of things. And it was $13. And of course, we're all pretty familiar with the cosplay triangle, which is to say you get cost, time, and quality, and you get to have two of them, and you can't have the third. So I'm about to find out if you actually, get what you pay for, following the axiom there. I've only opened this one time, and it was just long enough to check to make sure everything was in it. So I have not actually used this, so I'm going to basically be unboxing it for the first time. Now, Duramax is an off-brand, obviously, but normally you would find these marketed under the name Dremel, because that's normally what you think of whenever somebody says Dremel is a multi-tool. So I've taken off the box. When you purchase something like this, like a mini rotary tool, make sure you look at the box to see what's included inside of it, because some of them come with accessories and some of them don't. And it's really important to know what you're getting with the rotary tool, because anything that doesn't come with it, you're going to end up having to purchase later, and that can get expensive fairly quickly, depending on the attachment that you need. So this comes in a fairly nice little box. It's molded. I want to say it's probably plastic. It doesn't feel heavy enough to be metal, but it does kind of look like metal. And right side up would be a very good thing. There we go. And so as you can see, this is how it comes stored. So you can see there's the tool right here. This is the power cord and adapter. And you get all these different kind of bits that go with it and an instruction manual. Now, from what I have heard, and I've only used a rotary tool a few times, but it's generally better to get a corded version instead of a cordless version for a couple of reasons. One is because the batteries on wireless or cordless tools tend to run out eventually. They've got basically a limited life. You can only charge them so many times before you can't really charge them to capacity anymore. But also the corded tools tend to be a little stronger in terms of torque, which is the power it takes to turn the little bits that you're using on it. So it claims this is mini, but this is a pretty good size for it being called mini. Regular Dremels aren't really that much bigger than this. And of course, this looks cordless, but it's not. It actually has a little port here for the adapter. And what I will say is that you should really read the instruction manual first. Basically, I'm only turning this on for demonstration. I'm not actually going to sit down and use it seriously. But you do want to make sure also that you check the manual so that you know which types of bits and tools it can take for when you have to purchase more of them. Not all rotary tools will take the same size bits. Unfortunately, there's 10,000 standard sized bits. Just like there's many different sizes of nails, many different sizes of screwdrivers, that sort of thing. So like all power tools, make sure that you're going to purchase something that's compatible with the tool that you already have. Otherwise, you will be a very sad cosplayer. So this has a fairly long cord, which is also a good thing to look for in rotary tools if you're going to be moving around a table a lot. If for some reason you can't find something that has a long cord, look into getting an extension cord, so that you have the flexibility to walk around and move and work around your table, especially if you have a large prop. That can be really important. So I'm going to plug this into the port on the back. It looks like it's a standard 2.5 millimeter jack. Make sure that the unit is not on before you plug it in. Otherwise, you may just get a little bit startled. So I'm going to plug this in. Okay, and it is plugged in. If you end up using one of these for some reason during a storm or during an electrical surge, you may wish to have it hooked up to a surge protector. Just in case, because frying your rotary tool while you're in the middle of using it on a really intricate, gorgeous project would make you very sad as well. Now, on most corded rotary tools, you'll have a little button or a little key on the side. Some of them will say that they are keyless chuck, which usually just means they have a button instead of a little key that you insert and turn. Basically, what that does is it makes it so you can change the bits. You can change the different tool parts that you can use in the rotary tool. And when you get rotary tools, there's a whole bunch of different kind of bits for different sorts of things. Like, there are bits for engraving. So if you want to, you know, engrave your name, say, on the back of your iPod in case it gets stolen, you can use it for that. If you need to write certain script on props, say if they have text on the blade of a sword, then you'd use an engraving tip. And of course, these have all different shapes and sizes, and the little bits look kind of like this. They're pretty small. That way you can see it. They're pretty small. They're about a couple inches across. Usually, when you end up having to buy these, the number that you need to pay attention to is the diameter so that it fits inside your rotary tool. No, that's not a euphemism. This is a family show. So you have engraving bits. You have something like a sanding or a trimming bit, which ends up having a little bit of a rough edge so that you can sand off. Then you have things that are sanding stones, which are actually, I believe these are granite, but I can't be sure. It will tell you in the manual what yours are made of. But basically, it's a little rod sort of thing. It looks kind of like a Q-tip. But you use these to grind, to basically sand off bits of things. which sanding stones or grinding stones are usually only good for very small areas. If you have to sand, say, an entire sword blade, you probably don't want to use grinding stones or sanding belts on those, just because it's going to take you forever. Not to mention it's going to wear out your Dremel or your rotary tool. And of course you have different shaped little grinding stones. This one looks kind of like a little plunger, which I find actually kind of amusing. And then you have, see, these are a little bit harder to pull out. I'm trying to be gentle so that I don't break them. These are polishing wheels. You can use these to deburr, which is to say, if you have to polish metal, then you're going to end up having little metal bits come off, little metal shavings, and these are to get the little burrs of metal off as well as polish it while you're at it. These are made of pretty tough material. I think these are metal, and they're very sharp because I actually just had one of them pop off, and I made sure I disposed of it properly, but that's another type of bit that you can have in there. And then you have little attachments that look like this, and these are for sanding belts. Basically, these are miniature versions of the larger belt sanders that you can get in power tool supply stores. And then you have a nifty little brush. It's a pretty tough little brush, too. I would imagine that this is also for polishing and removing dust. So if you have to sand something, you'd use this afterwards. I will fully admit that I don't necessarily know what every single one of these little bits does. But there are plenty of them. Also, on some kits, this one didn't necessarily come with one, but you can get cutting bits. So if you need to, say, cut PVC or cut wood for a prop or for the core of a prop, then there will be certain cutting wheels that are for that. Do make sure that you look at the rating of the depth that they are rated to cut. So if something says can cut up to a half inch wood, then don't try and cut a piece of wood that's an inch thick, because one, it's going to either not work or take you forever, and two, you're going to wear down your rotary tool and the bits. So just watch out for whatever depth of material it's rated for. And many of them will have multiple ratings, so you'll have plastic, you'll have PVC, some of them even cut metal, you'll have wood. So, of course, there's always tons of little numbers when it comes to power tools. But what I'm going to do at this point, just to show you as a demonstration so that you can see it, is I'm going to choose one of the sanding stones, or one of the grinding stones, I'm sorry. And temporarily I'm going to unplug this. Whenever you change bits on rotary tools, make sure that they're unplugged. This is just so that it doesn't start rotating as you're sitting there working on it. So on the keyless chucks, you push button, which basically enlarges the chuck area. It widens it so that this will fit inside. Push it all the way down until it's secure, and then you let go. And then usually I test it to make sure. Unfortunately, on this one, it does not wish to, it doesn't want to secure itself. There it goes. Okay, so now it's secure in there. Now it doesn't come out. And I'm tugging on it. I'm giving it a pretty decent tug. Now, these won't obviously stay in there permanently. I mean, if you pull hard enough, the bit will come out. This is just to make sure it doesn't fly out whenever you end up doing this. There we go. Okay, so that's pretty nice and secure. So now that that's done, I can plug it back in. Again, make sure it's off. All right. Now, this spins at 12,000 rotations per minute, so it's probably going to be somewhat noisy. Most rotary tools do make some noise. So that's, you know, something to look for whenever you're looking at purchasing a rotary tool is, bear in mind, these are going to be a little bit noisy. So I'm going to briefly turn this on just so you can see it. Okay, So basically, it sounds a little bit like a desk tool, or at least this one does. And hopefully, if you have never had cavities, then you will never have to hear that sound. But this is actually fairly quiet for a rotary tool. I've actually worked with louder tools. But you can definitely tell when a bit isn't secure in the socket because it'll kind of wobble as it's rotating. So that's something that you can look at as you're using the tool. These generally take a fine hand, so steady hands are definitely an advantage whenever you're using them, especially in detailed areas. But less is always more. It's a lot easier to, you know, take it away layer by layer whenever you're cutting or grinding or sanding than it is to have to take off a lot and then go, oh no, I took off too much. And then you have to kind of somehow build your prop back up before you have to try and sand it down again. So less is more whenever you're using one of these. For $13, this seems like a pretty good buy, but it's also one of those things where I think if you can afford the money, it's a lot better if you save up for a quality tool, because I know that this is not a quality rotary tool. I'll admit that up front. This is basically just to get me by when I'm making props. If you can afford it, good Dremels are somewhere around $80 to $100. And they don't have to be branded Dremel. I mean, they can be any sort of brand. They could be Skill if you wanted, or they could be Harbor Freight if you wanted. Just any sort of a decent rotary tool is probably going to run you $80 to $100. And a decent set of bits to go with it can run you anywhere between $15 and $30, and that'll get you a lot of bits. Rotary tools last a long time if you get a good one, so that you won't have to worry about replacing anything except for the bits. Also, if you get some of the better quality rotary tools, some of them even come with attachments that will turn them into miniature power tools. So you can get a router attachment. You can get drill bits. Sometimes you can even use scroll saw bits in them. In fact, I'm kind of tempted to see if this little miniature one takes scroll saw bits so that you can use it basically as a jig, as a jigsaw or a scroll saw, so that you can cut out things like foam board and wood, because unfortunately foam board is very difficult to cut cleanly. So these are definitely a good thing for cosplayers to invest in. Even if you can't afford one of the really good ones, you can get the cheaper versions of basic Dremels used for like $20 or $30. They're pretty inexpensive. And again, a lot of them do take standard bits. You just have to check and see which diameter bits they take. And so that is the rotary tool. I didn't burn the apartment down!
Yay! Another successful non-burning trip. That's going to be our gauge on how well we do in an episode. Did Amber burn down her apartment? Yes or no?
So it's going to be...
No, higher ratings.
did Amber burn herself? Did Amber light something on fire? Did Amber light the apartment on fire?
The higher we go, the better the ratings.
There's always a risk in using power tools. What can I say?
And fire.
But at any rate, as of this episode dropping, Val will actually be out at Dallas Sci-Fi Expo. So you will be able to catch her there. If you are also going to be there, drop us a line and say hi.
I promise I won't bite.
Indeed. And we love to talk to fellow cosplayers just out of podcasts, as fellow cosplayers. So, you know, if you're going to be there, have a great time. Stop by, talk to Val. If not, both of us will be seeing quite a few of you at AllCon, which is in about 1 month from this dropping.
It'll be a month from now, and I am so looking forward to it.
So again, if you're going to be there, you know, drop us a line. Say hi. Say, hey, I'm going to be, you know,
blah,
at the cosplay contest, you know, while I see you there. Because we're going to be attending AllCon primarily as press and podcasters. So we'll be doing, well, I will be doing a lot of the recording. Missy is going to be cosplaying.
I'll be cosplaying, but my costumes are actually pretty tame. I've already done test runs with these, so I know that I can still carry things and I can move things around. So I'm not concerned as I was like last year. Last year was a little nuts.
Yes.
But I know because my big thing is I love doing photography. So while Amber is recording with the big fancy camera, I'll be taking photos with my fancy camera.
Yes, I will also be taking photos, but primarily I'm going to have the giant camcorder.
Camcorder of Doom.
Yes,
I'm going to be bugging Radcast at one point, too. That's going to be fun.
That, too. We will be joining up with Radcast for a couple of things, and we will definitely be filming the cosplay contests as they happen, along with all the other cosplay panels that they have.
Absolutely.
There. As we are actually officially press at AllCon this year, which is really sweet. So we will see you guys there over the next couple of months. Otherwise, we will continue to work on cosplay, and we hope you continue to work on cosplay. And with that, we will bid you adieu. Happy cosplay. Happy cosplaying.
Make sure to drop us a line on Facebook or on our website. Bye, guys.
Yep. Bye.